But soon, if we're not there yet, and because many people just don't know how much AI has been used already, but behind the scenes, eventually it gets to the fourth step level, which is, how did we ever get along without it?
Unleashing your best in life and work. This is The Game Changers with Eric Bolles and host Dale Dixon.
A principled-based approach to artificial intelligence to unleash your best in life and work. Welcome to the Game Changers podcast. I am your host, Dale Dixon. I help leaders be their best on stage and in front of the camera. I'm also the Chief Innovation Officer for A Better Business Bureau. Eric Bolles coaches, trains, and inspires leaders to unleash their potential and the potential of those around them. Eric, great to be with you today for our conversation about... artificial intelligence. So I'm going to let listeners know that artificial intelligence is very much in play with this podcast. There's a number of tools that are being used behind the scenes, and hopefully you don't even know it, don't necessarily see it, but it's happening. But I've had a number of conversations with leaders, Eric, in the last several weeks, and just have been, you know, as we do, keeping our finger on the pulse of what's going on around this idea of artificial intelligence. And there's some fear, there's definitely unknown around it. But I think for the purposes of our conversation today, it would be fascinating to look at disruption, because artificial intelligence is somewhere on that continuum of disruption as far as new technology. But take the technology away, take AI away, and let's just look at a principled-based approach to handling disruption in our businesses, no matter where that disruption's coming from. And we'll use AI as an example for this, but I really think the principles apply to the AI disruption, just as the principles have applied in the past to other disruptions that we've faced in our business. So,
completely concur. It takes me back... number of years ago, and it was described this way in terms of how we typically deal with a disruption or deal with a change, especially when it catches us, not by surprise, but can go to a place we may not have anticipated. Our first response is typically rejection, like we reject it, right? And that's first. The second response is typically we can see how others can use it. You know, I can see that's relevant for their business, but it's not necessarily relevant for mine. Or, you know, we can move to the third step, which is we see how we can use it on a limited or relative basis, right? So we use it in a very limited capacity. For some of us right now, you know, it's, you know, maybe viewing it through, you know, how your kids used it in school or a CPT chat, or I think that's the right CPT chat. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Chat GPT, yeah. I've heard so many different variations on the theme. We know exactly what you're talking about. We know what you mean.
I know, yeah. It's funny because I got three people on my team who's using these AI tools all the time. But, you know, I just, okay, cool, it's great. But I'm not doing it myself. But soon, if we're not there yet, and because many people just don't know how much AI has been used already, but behind the scenes, eventually it gets to the fourth step level, which is, how did we ever get along without it? You know, and that typically is the process that we go through, especially when it comes to disruption. It's just, initially we reject it. Second thing we do is we can see how others can use it. Third is we can use it on a limited basis. And then fourth, we look back and go, how did we ever get along without it? And I kind of see that the direction on many things when it comes to disruption that we're moving towards.
So I'll start with a principle that I hold dear in my life and as a way to orchestrate my leadership path, and that is the principle of childlike curiosity.
Yeah.
And being really curious about what's coming around the corner. So what, and that's really what's informed me along the path, and I have so much to learn, but I'm really curious about what AI brings or what a disruption can do. I intentionally lean into curiosity to avoid being triggered by fear or a fight, flight, or freeze mentality in the face of disruptive change. So I find that there's this, yeah, the balance that I'm looking to. I want to lean into curiosity so that I don't end up being sucked into fear. And it's an intentional process. So if we lean into this principle of being curious, where have you seen that serve leaders well in facing disruption? And then how do we start to apply it when it comes to AI? And I've got some ideas, but I'd love to hear you riff on that for a few minutes.
I think the first thing, yes, I think is good. There's a curiosity. I challenge leaders, especially very busy leaders, and based on their role, we live in an environment where we can't run out of information in the day and age we live today. So, you know, not only is, you know, being curious and having a desire to learn, I've said this before, but I just believe we live in a time where Eric Hoffer's quote is ideal, which is, in times of change, it's learners that inherit the earth, while the learned are beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. That is exactly not only where we live, but I believe we're going to continue to live there. With that being said, I do believe people should give some form of boundaries around the learning experience. And what I mean by boundaries around the learning experience, what I mean is boundaries such as, I want to recognize this tool or this tool or disruption, but also I want to look at it through the filter of how does it relate to my world? How can I see, you know, how does it relate? That gives it some context, right? Like, I need help. Usually when it comes to something, learning something new, this is a little side note for all those who are listening, especially from a learning standpoint. It is much easier for us to learn on top of what we already know than learn something all by itself. So anytime you learn something new, you're always looking for how does this not only relate to my world, but what do I already know that can help make this make a little sense, right? Like, and I think if we do it more from that angle, our curiosity level goes up naturally because we're looking for the benefit of it, not just just what it does, right? Because, there's individuals I know right now who have leaned into AI, and they are leaning into the side that's just so technical. That's not even relatable, right? Like, it's not what you do. What you're looking for is what part of that are you leaning in that you can see relatable, that's easy, not easily, but that can be assimilated and can be applied to your world.
Which, that's funny, that's quite the segue, because the second principle that I've got wrestling around in the back of my head is this idea of fighting for clarity. And you're talking about being super clear about the implications, impact, opportunities that we see. This was really brought to bear. I spoke to a college class last week, and the issue of AI came up, and the professor asked, you know, what's the impact of AI on these students and their career opportunities once they leave school? And my initial reaction was, I'm like, the sky's the limit. But it requires you to have this insatiable curiosity about what AI is doing, what it can do right now, and be tuned into what it can do in the future related to your specific careers. But let's get clear. Human beings are very important in this.
That's right.
In this ecosystem.
Yeah.
And so with the students, I broke it down and worked to be very clear about the opportunities and the challenges. I know inside of our business that there is a significant level of fear that, and I think this is true for a lot of businesses, there's a fear, especially among frontline people, that AI is going to take their jobs.
Yeah.
So let's get clear about what we see AI potentially being able to do in the organization in the near future and potentially in the far future. But let's be clear and transparent in that right now so that we start to maybe it's not going to alleviate the fears, but it addresses the concerns, and there's nothing like sunshine as a disinfectant, especially around fear. So, you know, yes. we talk about utilizing artificial disruption, in this case, artificial intelligence, to eliminate the mundane tasks.
Yeah.
We should be letting technology do that. And what are some of those mundane, and getting clear, what are some of the mundane tasks, and how do we free you up to do much more high value work?
Yeah.
And what does that high value work look like? So it's the open, honest conversations where we're fighting for clarity.
It was, I love it. You had the conversation there with the students in class, and it's a wonderful, transition to what I experienced last week. Was I was actually with a group of leaders, insurance company, but very, very effective, very successful insurance company. But when they dug deep into the details, you can see how many things need to become automated, which is going to be AI driven. And it's not eliminating jobs. What it is, like you say, it's eliminating so much, so many tasks that do not require the kind of intellectual capital that's being used on it right now. And what I mean by that is you've got these high-end underwriters looking at these little things that something else can be done so they can properly use their time on the right things. Now, when I say use their time on the right things, and no listening to hear what I'm saying, is so often, you know, if I'm using my energy, my thought power on things that don't require it, it still exhausts that energy and time. So when I get to the things that really do require my thought in, you know, it can't just where I got to really, there's a subjectivity to it, right? There's more nuance. I got to have the time and the energy to do that. Also, as a business, you got to think about returns. Is that the best use for people who are getting paid this to be spending time doing that? And then to go deeper with it, people were like, well, AI's intelligence is, you know, it's artificial intelligence and there's no limit. I said, true. But the amount of intelligence you have isn't as important as the thinking that guides it. So we still need people thinking to guide that intelligence. And that's the direction we're going. We're going into a thinking environment. We're going into a serving environment. That is happening. This is not doom and gloom. I'm not trying. This is not about scare or anything. But I was with IBM, and I was with one of their executives as they were talking to a group, and they were just saying, look, this is what we're projecting. We're projecting that your kids who are, you got kids who are under the age of 12, or younger. Reality is we believe that 80 to 90% of their jobs that they're going to have don't exist today. I mean, just process that.
See, that excites the innovator in me. I'm like, that's exciting. What's on the horizon?
Yeah, in our reaction to it, but they don't exist today. And so you're sitting there going, well, if they don't exist today, they're just going to disappear. No, but the speed by which technology is improving, it's not just time. It's multiplied time. Like, it isn't just, in 10 years, you know, then they're going to be different. No, in the past, what 10 years represented is very different than what 10 years represents today. I mean, literally every year that goes by, the technological advancement, the speed, the new ways we're seeing how this technology can be used is compounding. And so clearly, if you know, to be afraid of something that's kind of inevitable, you know, people say, well, how do you get rid of the fear? With the very thing you said at the beginning, Dan, which is you become curious. You're usually afraid of what you don't understand or what you don't know. But if you lean in to know it to the degree that's necessary, then all of a sudden you realize, man, a lot of this stuff adds a lot of value when used properly.
Hey. So the next principle to talk about would be what I call transparency with boundaries. And this would be the opposite of, if we're looking, you know, for what oftentimes happens, people just bury their heads. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to look at it. And or a blind, it's not going to impact my business. And there's a lot of employees who say, I'm just not doing it. We were really surprised inside of our organization. And I just read a study, and I don't know if it was in the Wall Street Journal, but that the number of employees in companies who just don't know or have refused to even look at the potential of AI as it relates to the business that they're working in, whether you're in leadership to frontline, and the importance for leaders to be curious about this, be very clear, but also with especially those frontline employees, be transparent about, and I call it transparency with boundaries. You don't have to give away the secrets of the business, but you know, here are the ways that we're going to do this. It also is super important from an ethical standpoint if you're using AI. That's why we started off the conversation saying it's actually used in the background for processing the audio quality of this podcast. It helps with any of the text that you would see in descriptions and social media posts. We're relying on artificial intelligence. So, but being transparent with that helps people see it in use and better understand it as well.
You know, it was someone who said it this way to me one time. They said, you know, around the levels of competency, right? And because of how fast change is happening, and especially in the way that you were just describing it, but it's one thing to not know, or at least knowing you don't know, right? Like we call that, I'd rather be consciously incompetent. I don't know, but at least I know I don't know. There's nothing worse than the primary levels of incompetence, which is I don't know, and I don't even know I don't know, right? Like, I am not even awake.
I don't want to know that I don't know.
That's the worst, because that all translates to I just don't. So you are literally living, hoping, or trusting that things that are on the way are never going to touch you. And so one of the things, Gil, I think is big is principles you were describing, but within organizations, I ask organizations, or at least the leaders this of organization all the time, in terms of the mindset in the organization, the philosophy, how we are a learning organization. And when we say learning, it's not just learning. It's the principle of learning. It's not just what you're learning. It's actually the principle. Because I like to say growing leaders are learning leaders, right? Like when you're a learning leader, you understand that it's not only important for me to learn, but it's also for my people to learn. We're all curious. We're all learning from each other. And as a result, we're that much smarter. We're able to, you know, find new ways and new... Many times people are always assuming when a new technology comes, it's going to take away from this job. Yes, but you're aligning the job with the person as if the person's possibility to grow or do something different isn't there. So our greatest strength for change is, you know, and especially as technology continues to advance, man, we were saying it 30 years ago. Like my mentor used to, I mean, he was teaching change, you know, 40 years ago. Nothing's changed. We're using the same principles. But he used to say all the time, he goes, hey, it's not that your product's world-class, your people are world-class. And if your people are world-class, they're world-class learners. So there's their greatest strength is the need to adapt. So we may have to change entrenched behaviors to take advantage of new opportunities that are in front of us. When AI shows up or new technology or disruption, what it usually disrupts is entrenched behaviors, our routines. And so we sometimes look at the routine and confuse the routine with the purpose and the value. No, you're still valuable as the person. Or your routine or what you do now may shift. And that's our strength. If you were stuck and couldn't change, then you become like a machine or one of the tools we use that is no longer valuable. No, you're a person. Like, I mean, we learn and grow and adapt. And this is why I'm always emphasizing the company of leaders. I'm like, remind your people they've made changes before, not just in business, but in life. Like, it's constantly changing. So if you can get that mindset right, if you can constantly emphasize that, then people know if I did it before, I can do it again. But if you skip that part of it, that part of change, and only bring in the technology, it's hard for people not to see this technology replacing me. No, this technology is replacing the task so we can find greater value in a different way.
Mm. That is a powerful approach that you just laid out for leaders to take. And you know, you talk about change management, and as I'm aligning the principles that we're talking through, they're really big buckets for the specifics around change management. So when you think about clarity and transparency, you're talking about being straightforward and open with the team from a culture and a mindset standpoint. You're empowering people to see themselves adopting the disruption that's coming down the road and preparing them for that disruption. When we talk about this idea of transparency, I think it goes both directions. It involves these concepts around, anticipating and addressing resistance inside the organization. That's where a level of transparency is necessary. It's being open to providing training and support, saying, hey, we as a company don't know this. We're going to go out and actively engage in some help to better understand it. And so change, yeah, these are big buckets that we're talking through specific to change management. The last one on my list that I think is really important that I'm really spending some time to better understand and to sharpen the edge is around experimentation. And this is looking at seizing small opportunities to test the disruptive force, which in this case is artificial intelligence. So the importance, let's talk through the importance of having an experimenter's mindset in dealing with disruption.
The way I like to describe it is this way. I've used this framing, but I think this helps shift leaders' mindset, especially when it comes to disruption, dealing with changes like this, is we need data. We have to have data. And the way I like to describe data is, please, those who are listening right now, do not, when I say data, view it through the lens of, oh, let's go get these, you know, these reports and do analysis. No, what I mean by data is, in simple terms, we just need reps. Okay, we need reps. We need reps by which we can learn from and course correct and do it again and course correct and do it again and course correct. So the best way of saying that is we have to train. And training requires reps. Training includes what we're going to learn from doing it right, what we're going to learn from doing it wrong. So when you go into it, you're like, hey, our greatness, we're not going to try to be great. This is what I say all the time. We're not trying to be great. We're not trying to be successful. We're going to train to be successful. Like, I would say as leaders, you know, a title leader is trying to be great. Like, no, train to be, right? And that includes the whole concept of training includes mistakes, includes discovery. It includes, and the beautiful thing when this is done right, it is the company embraces training. So we learn from other people doing it. So it's almost like I'm on a team, but there's 10 of us. But every time one of us does it, it's a rep for all of us. And so if you multiply that by 10, we're getting, each one of us tries something 10 times. That's 100 reps at something that we're learning from each other. This mindset has to coincide with what you just got to describing, because confidence, my confidence many times, people believe confidence is like, we have to be confident. Yes, confident enough to get up again. People think confidence is gonna make sure we do it right the first time. No, you don't need confidence, it's just gonna go right the first time. Confidence is, that's bounce back. And the word confidence comes from the word confidere, which means to trust. You have to trust that even when it goes sideways, we get up and we can do it again. This is what comes along with it. So no one has the ideal answer. I mean, the reason why even some of the companies right now who probably are on the front line when it comes to AI and AI usage, what makes them on the front line or what puts them so far ahead is they have found ways to work it into what they do every day. So why is Google getting so good on the AI front? Why is certain one? Because they get billions of opportunities to practice it every day. Right? I mean, there's reps happening with how they go. So the more you do something, the better you get at it. And so from a mindset standpoint, it's very important, as you were just trying, that we need to practice it. Like, we get better by practice. Even if I related to a football example, my coach, my coach described, but it really came from Coach Dungy, Tony Dungy. Coach Tony Dungy, you say it all the time. He said, look, guys, we get paid to practice. We play for free. Like, everybody wants to play on Sunday. But the real thing that matters is your reps during the week. So you are paid to get as many reps as possible during the week. So then when it gets to Sunday, we're prepared. This is the same mindset we have to have when it comes to disruption, AI. And I'm saying AI right now, but please, whoever listen to this, you can plug whatever in. If your company right now going through change, and if you're going after something different than you've gone before, if you got a new revenue goal, or your KPIs have changed, your key performance indicators have shifted, the market, everything I'm still talking about, you still got to do it with reps. So the sooner we can have more of our team and with the right mindset is, hey, we're going to align ourselves. We're going to try to put a good plan together and a strategy. But what we really need is having that strategy tested by having as many reps and things as possible so we can course correct.
Awesome. Okay. So just to recap for folks, as we've talked through this, and I think we've just scratched the surface, I'm sure our listeners can message us with a bunch of other ideas that would be fantastic topics to dive in deep. But if we start to look at disruption, specifically at artificial intelligence as the big disruption coming down the pike for us, and we lean in with curiosity, we are sure that we are clear about what we see the implications as leaders for AI, that we're transparent with boundaries with our teams, and that we are experimenting, that we're getting the repetitions in, getting those reps in on a regular basis. Is there anything else you can think of off the top of your head that matches in with those, or a good foundation for preparing for disruption?
Yeah, those are good foundations. The only thing I encourage, only thing I would add is every individual own their openness to this. So these things we describe can't just be directed to the people you're leading. All of us are touched by it. So practice this. Use these things we're describing with yourself. Like, can remember, and I always encourage teams to remind themselves, part of our confidence also comes from reviewing our highlight film, reviewing our past. We've made change before, or we wouldn't be here. We've adapted to change before, or we wouldn't be here. The thing we're trying to figure out is, how do we make sure that changes that are coming, we make them work for us instead of allowing them to just happen to us? And that is something we have to decide on. Like, that is one of those things, right? No, we are going to talk about how this is working. This isn't happening to us. This is happening for us. But to make that happen for us, all the things you just got to describing, Dale, have to be front and center.
This is what you can only preach what you practice.
That's it. Come on.
Okay.
All right, little man.
Hey, just to wrap things up, a few housekeeping items. If you would rate and review this podcast, we would be most grateful. Just do it right there in the app that you're listening to this. If while you're there, you've just discovered us today, but you haven't necessarily listened in the past, if you would hit the subscribe button, that would be fantastic, so that you are notified every time a new episode drops. You can always reach out to Eric or myself. You can find Eric at thegamechangersinc.com. I'm at daledixonmedia.com. So subscribe, rate, review, and connect. Those are the big asks for this podcast. You have yourself a great week being insatiably curious, clear, transparent, and always putting in the reps to unleash your best in life and work.
The Game Changers. Unleashing Your Best in Life and Work with Eric Bowles and Dale Dixon. Eric is an executive coach, leadership expert, change consultant, and keynote speaker. Read his book, Moving to Great, and find him at ericbowles.com. Connect with Dale at daledixonmedia.com.